Matthew 27, 45 and 46. From about the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then in Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us pray together. Lord our God, teach us how to love like you in this crazy world, that we might demonstrate you to this community and beyond, that others might know this great story that we know. Lead us, empower us by your Spirit. Teach us this morning the meaning of these great and majestic words. In your name we pray. Amen. So you say the power's back on? Cable 2?
Yes.
Internet 2? Good, good. Did you get to watch all of the World Series? How many fans of baseball here? If you didn't have power and you didn't have cable, how did you watch?
We did.
You didn't? Oh, such a sad face. Who were you rooting for, the Astros or the Dodgers?
The Astros.
Why? You have friends in Texas or something?
They needed it,
didn't they, after that being slammed by that hurricane? They needed to win, and indeed they did. Went the full 7 games. And if you don't know, maybe you saw it on videos later or on the Channel 6 News, there was a very special moment at the end of the 7th game. Do you know what happened after the Houston Astros had won? One of the players proposed to his girlfriend on live TV. Carlos Correa, the shortstop, dropped to a knee, called his girlfriend Daniela forward and proposed to her and gave her a ring. Nice, happy story, right? Unless you're Scarlett Sanchez, 4 years old, she was devastated. Poor Scarlett, her mom whipped out her camera and videotaped her laying on the couch. It looked like she had the flu or some terrible sickness and moaning, he's marrying the other girl. He's marrying the other girl. Poor Scarlett Sanchez, she was brokenhearted by what was going on. I have to say that I was suckered into the video. It was really cute. I don't really like cutesy things, but this is one where you would say, aww, right? Doesn't get any cuter than that. We have a love story today that we are looking at. It's not one that you say, aww, about, because it is laced with pain and suffering. It's one that might elicit a gasp or an oh my, because here, the Son of God himself dies for us with all the weight of the sin of the world upon his shoulders. So this is not a story of puppy love. This is not a story of infatuation, but the deepest and the richest kind of love that the world has ever known. Last time I checked YouTube, about 16 million people had watched the video of Scarlett Sanchez. But this story is known to billions around the world. And it is, as we have always said, the greatest story ever told. And it is so great because it is real. When you mix love and pain like that, I think it makes the story all the more real towards us. And so that's what we want to look at, is this relationship between love and pain. As I laid out the sermon for this series, Love Like God in a Loveless World, I knew I had to reach this point. There has to be a point where you look the cross and you say, there is love in this world. God loves me and he knows pain in order to show me love. So we're going to look at 3 kinds of pain in this text. They are the pain of rejection, the pain of broken relationships, and the pain of death, of course. So first of all, the pain of rejection. Many of us know this, don't we? We've been rejected. We've been spurned. Some of us have the ability to move on and think nothing of it. Some of us lick those wounds for years, don't we? Well, God knows this pain as well, and we see it right in Romans 5:8, and I'm going to read it for you again. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see that word rejection there? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not there, but it is, because I think that's probably the best definition you can have of sin. It really is rejecting God, turning your back on God, and saying, you know, I know better how to run my life, how to run the world, and I'll do it my way. Thank you. If there is one thing that I could change about the way that we live out our Christian faith, it would probably be our understanding of sin. I don't know how we got there. I guess it makes sense, but we look at sin as kind of a checklist. You do this or you don't do that. Or we look at sin as some God who has been up in the heavens and looked at everything that makes people happy, everything that makes us joyful, and said, okay, now you can't do that. Now you can't do that, and you can't do that. And while there are do's and don'ts in life, what sin is that determination that you're going to turn your back on God. And when you do that, you begin to unravel the world as He has set it up. The reason He says for us to do certain things and don't do others is because He knows, He's made us, that if you do those, you're just going to screw things up. You're going to unravel your life. You're going to unravel your world. You'll have consequences in your heart, in your family, in your home, even in creation itself. What sin actually is far more terrifying and far more important than some checklist from a capricious God, okay? It's pretty powerful stuff. And yet, we still do this on a massive, global, comprehensive scale. And yet, God still turns towards us in love and says, you know, I will still love you. I will even give my life for you. In defining love, God shoots for the very bottom, the very dregs of society. He shoots for you and me, and He says, I'm going to pull you up to the cross right with me, and I will die for you. So if you want to love like God, and that is our theme this fall, what I want to challenge you to do is to turn towards somebody as God has turned toward you. How skilled we are at turning away from people, right? And turning our back on them. God has turned His back on no one. You as God's man in this world, you as God's woman in this world, ask Him. You as God's blessing here in Nobleboro or Newcastle, wherever it is, you are called upon to demonstrate His love out into the community. And you're going to need to turn toward somebody to do that. So ask Him, God, you turn toward us through the cross. Who do you want me to turn toward? What kind of steps can I take? Pastor, that's not going to be very easy. No, it's not. But He turned toward you and calls us to follow in His footsteps. So that's the pain of rejection. Even though we rejected Him, thumbed our nose at Him, and most people still do, He turned toward us in love. Next, the pain of broken relationships. My gosh, our lives are littered with broken relationships, aren't they? It seems that more of our relationships sometimes are broken than they are whole. Seems like sometimes more of our relationships need healing than are healthy. Over the past year or so, I've been getting to know a beautiful Christian sister who lives in Waldoboro by the name of Bonnie Merrill. I don't think she'd mind if I share her story because she has a public ministry about it. But Bonnie grew up in a wonderful Christian home. It was her and her mother, I think maybe another sibling. She was very close to her mother, who was a beautiful Christian. Her mother taught her everything about church and the Bible and following Christ. And they were just as close can be. I think Bonnie might make a good speaker for our Women's Day luncheon in June. She's got a ministry. Well, one day, Bonnie found out that she had quite a few other brothers and sisters that she didn't know about. And she was just devastated. She crashed. Her life was shattered. Her relationship with her mother was just devastated because here was a woman who was supposed to be the paragon of Christian virtue, who had taught her all of this stuff about Christ and was leading a double life. And she could not figure out how this could be possible. God helped her put her life back together. And she now has a ministry called Living Power Ministries. And she goes around and talks about how you can find healing and wholeness again after such brokenness. One thing I love about Nobleboro, among many, 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 is that we know each other very, very well. We don't have too many secrets. You've let me enter into your lives and into your relationships. You've told me about the brokenness in your own homes and families. And I understand those because I come from that kind of a home too. My parents divorced when I was 17, and it rocked my world. It totally threw me for a loop, and it still does, even though both my parents are dead. For some reason that you just don't get over things like that. It was tough and still is. God knows broken relationships too. Did you hear that? God knows broken relationships too. What? He's never been married? He's never what? I want to call you back to Matthew 27 again, where Jesus said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Teachers and Bible scholars have made a big deal out of this one sentence for years, and I think there is something very powerful here, that the man who taught us to say to God, Abba, Father, is now saying, why have you forsaken me? And is now calling his Father, not Abba, but my God, a word that we often use just as a swear word. You know, as a term that is not intimate or endearing in any way at all. How could this be possible? And scholars tell us that there may have been at this moment some sort of unraveling of the Father-Son relationship. That as Jesus carried your sins and mine, that God was not able to really look upon his Son, to be with his Son, and Jesus could feel him pulling away. And Jesus cried out, why? Why have you forsaken me? A lot of questions in life we can't answer. But this is one we can, right? As we have Romans 5:8. Why did God forsake Jesus? Because of me, right? Because of you. There's so many mysteries in this world. Mysteries of God, mysteries of why things happen. You'll ask me when I visit you, why, Pastor? I will not know. But this I know. Why did he forsake us? Because of what we did, and because he knew that if he gave his life, that he could turn this back, he could turn it around. So I want you to hear this loud and clear. As much as God knows the pain of rejection, he knows the pain of broken relationships, and he is not far from you. He is not distant. He will draw close to you. We've got this silly little saying that I kind of like, been there, done that. God has been there, and he has done that. Just a moment ago, in our first hymn, we sang, O love that will not let me go. He's not going to let it go. He's not going to let you go. Even after thousands of years of human history, he's not given up on the human race. And he's not giving up on you this morning. Oh, and tomorrow, Monday, he's not giving up on you. Tuesday, he has not given up on you. Wednesday, he will not give up on you. And I can say about Thursday and on and on and on. He will not give up on you. It was enough for him to give up on Jesus and to pull away as his son died. He knows that broken relationship. Well, lastly, the pain of death. We've had the pain of rejection, the pain of broken relationships, the pain of death. And with such amazing love, we could easily end the story there. That's plenty of love, but we'll go on just for a moment more for the pain of death. That's a pain that our Lord knows as well. And it's not just slipping away into eternity. It's not just dying a death of natural causes. Jesus was subjected, as you know, to one of the most brutal deaths ever dreamed up by humankind. And dreamed up it was, because the Romans wanted to make a spectacle of this. You don't walk in the Roman way. You don't check off the boxes of the Roman law. We're going to make a spectacle of you. We'll hang you on a cross. We'll put a sign over your head about what your offense was. And for Jesus, it said, King of the Jews. He claims to be the King of the Jews. Of course, how silly is that, right? There's just Caesar. The sign could have read, King of Love, because that's what he was demonstrating according to Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is our calling as well, to live this kind of sacrificial love out in the community, in your school, in your workplace, to live that kind of sacrificial love. Paul said it most beautifully in Philippians 2, which is on the back of your bulletins here. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Be like Jesus, is what he's saying. Walk in Jesus' footsteps. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Well, let's wrap up the story of Scarlett Sanchez, shall we? 4-year-old Scarlett. TV station in Houston thought it would be really cute to get her out on stage and then to bring Carlos out and to reunite them. And Carlos and Danielle did that. They came out on stage while Scarlett Sanchez sat there. And they exchanged hugs, they exchanged kisses, selfies were taken. Scarlett even got to try on the engagement ring, which was rather large, of course. Aww, isn't that sweet? Isn't that wonderful? And I think in a tiny, tiny sort of a way, it does reflect God's love, because here is this great man who decides to come into the life of an insignificant girl and show her love. And on a much grander scale, this is what Jesus has done. The creator of the universe, your Father, your creator, has come into your life, not only come into it, but given you life, because he came out of the tomb for you. Gave his life for you even before that. And that's what love is all about. We gather together on a weekly basis to affirm this amazing story, to rehearse it together, to say it again so we can hear it and get it into our minds. And there's a few other things I want you to hear as you leave this morning. There is no path that you will walk down but what God has not been down a path like that first. There is none. Hear that, okay? If you think you're alone and rejected, God was too, and continues to be rejected by most of humanity. He knows that. You carry the weight of broken relationships. Your life seems littered with broken relationships. God knows that pain as well. And he knows it on a deep personal level because he had to really pull away from his own son who was carrying your sins. You ever lost a loved one to an untimely death? Jesus lost his son in the prime of his life when he was still in his early 30s. He knows that pain. And as we go out into the community this week too, to share that love with other people, to love like God, I want you to consider, to prayerfully consider if there might be some appropriate way that you could share that with somebody else. If you know somebody who has lost a young member of their family, you can say, God bless you. I want to be with you. And I want you to know that God knows that pain on a personal level because he has been there first. Somebody who's alone or who feels rejected by everyone in their family, I love you. I will stand with you. I will turn toward you. God knows that pain too. There might be times when it's inappropriate to say that, but if it is, say that. That's one of the greatest things we hold on to as Christians. That our God knows this and has been down this path before. In fact, it's what we call good news. But we're not talking about religion, we're not talking about philosophy, we're not talking about some happy thoughts to send out there to the universe. We're talking about a person who has walked down any path that humans can walk down and will love you through it. That is good news. And you're carrying that out into the community this week. What a friend we have in Jesus, huh? What a friend we have in Jesus, huh?
Yes.
True. And it's also a hymn that will be our closing hymn number 162. Let's stand and sing it together.